One morning, when watching TV, an interview caught my attention. The story was about a little girl, her family, and their love for animals, which led to the development of a special program to help rescue animals. What was also special is this little girl named Scarlett, who had cancer, and she talked about her own relationship with her pets and the support they provided to her. Scarlett said, "I want to adopt every animal in the world, and I would like to be dipped in a bucket of puppies." The rest of the story is one of hope, heartbreak, but also shows the power of friendship, love, and the important role animals play in our lives. Please join me as I speak with Scarlett's mother, Robin Schwatko, as she discusses her daughter's dream and how she turned this into reality. Welcome to the Animal Academy podcast. I'm Allison White, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker who specializes in the human-animal connection. This podcast will showcase professionals who share their areas of expertise in an ongoing series of interviews, and you are there. Their input, stories, and knowledge will help us all understand that we are the ones that actually end up learning from the animals. This is the Animal Academy Podcast. Hello, Robin, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm really excited to be able to talk to you. I heard your interview on TV the other day, and it was just a heartwarming story, and thought, let me just give you a call. And I ended up emailing you and was so thankful that you contacted me back and are sharing your story today. So thank you.
I love that you found me and are able to help us spread the word.
Any chance to spread the word for rescue animals, you know, I'm on it. So could you tell me a little bit of how this all started?
Absolutely. Draw for Paws is the name of the organization. And it was completely the idea of my daughter, Scarlett, who was 8 at the time. She loved animals from literally the minute she was born. She came to me one day and said, "I have an idea." She had like a little scribble on a piece of paper that was essentially the logo for Draw for Paws. And she said, "For every $20 someone donates to the SPCA, I will draw their pet or their favorite animal if they don't have a pet." And I said, "That's a great idea."
Yeah.
And I said, "What if you get 1,000 orders?" And she said, "Then I'll draw 1,000 pets." So that's how it started. We were already longtime volunteers at the SPCA. We have several rescue animals of our own, and It was just a natural fit. We started talking about it right away.
What a simple idea. You know, you can take these ideas that kids come up with, and adults make them so complicated. But as kids, it's a very simple idea that has really gone a long way.
Well, that's what I loved from minute one of this idea, is its simplicity. When you want to give back, it doesn't have to be complicated or difficult or convoluted. This was like an idea that she saw growing. She thought she could handle it. It's exactly that. And it's only something that can come from the mind of a child. What I love about how Draw for Paws continues, although we help formulate it and now it's become an official nonprofit organization, and we help connect with companies and shelters and other kind of high level things. This is really a kid run organization. All of our initiatives are ideas that kids came up with and ideas that kids can execute also. And that's what I love about it. You know, a kid says in their mind, "A dog needs a home. Let's find it a home." They don't think of like all of the steps along the way, but I feel like that's what drives me, is that simplicity and that like that easy goal that you just have to find a solution to.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I love that too. Could you talk a little bit about Scarlett's connection with her own animals?
Absolutely. There was no doubt from the time she was born, her first word was dog. She absolutely loved animals. She used to carry around this like random little plastic dog and call it a doggin. The doggin had to, it was like part of some playset, and the doggin had to be with us wherever she was.
How cute.
When she was born, we had two rescue dogs, Zoe and Hazel, who she read to, she snuggled with, had such a deep connection with them. after Zoe passed, we rescued a dog named Ollie. He was a foster fail or foster success, either way you look at it. But we brought Ollie in, and it was love at first sight. And she and Ollie were connected like I have really never witnessed in my life. They knew each other in and out. They understood each other. They gave each other space when they needed it. They came together when they needed it. He sat with her when she did her homework. I mean, it was a really incredible relationship that the two of them had.
So do you think, well, what we've talked about in other podcast episodes is almost a sixth sense that pets have, where they notice what the owner needs?
With Scarlett, 100%. Ollie's a little terrier, loony little squirrel chasing, high jumping terrier who I never took to be, when we first got him, the kind of dog who had that much empathy. When Scarlett got sick, I feel like he knew before anyone else. And he was by her side from beginning to end. She was also a fiercely independent kid. As I said before, like, he somehow knew when she needed her space and knew when she needed comforting and knew when she needed to play. He was always incredibly gentle with her. He was ridiculously protective of her to a fault, but he was her dog. And there was no doubt. And I agree that they know when there's that type of relationship, there's no doubt that the dog can sense the emotions and the needs of the owner and vice versa.
Well, in my last podcast episode, actually two from, it was on animal assisted interventions. The therapist that I spoke with said something that I hadn't even really thought about. It's very basic, but how much our animals really do take care of us 24/7 when we're home.
Without a doubt. And I would say that anyone with a pet in the past year can wholeheartedly agree that getting through COVID and multiple quarantines and all of that, without pets, I'm not sure how we would have gone through, because they are a happy distraction. They are such a true emotional support. I think they're so helpful for mental health. Having to focus on someone who needs you for 100% of their needs is a great distraction and a great thing to keep you going and motivated. Having a pet around is such a gift and such a blessing. And we have always felt that our animals are a part of our family. And I feel like this past year, it could not be more true or more obvious.
And I think that's why we're seeing shelters all of a sudden emptying out and everybody's adopting pets and seeing the value.
Absolutely. But I will also say that something that we have learned, sadly, and that, yes, let me first say, yes, whenever you see these stories of shelters being cleared out, it warms my heart. It makes me happy. Think of every animal that is now in a warm, cozy home with a family that loves them. But I will also say that what we have found in working from shelters, working with shelters over the years, and especially this year, is that for every happy, wonderful adoption story you hear about, there is a family who has had to surrender their pet that they adore because of food insecurity or job loss. And that's a real problem trying to tackle. I mean, food insecurity affects the whole family, including the pet. When you can't put food on the table for your family, your pet is certainly, for most people, going to suffer from that as well. And when we talk about kids who are coming up with ideas for our initiatives, that's something that happened during COVID was buddy bowls. A little girl said, what can we do with animals during COVID? How are they being affected? And how can we help right now? Because adoption events are different. And, you know, some of the normal ways that we help at shelters has pivoted and changed like every other business. And we came up with buddy bowls because we heard that people were surrendering their pets because of food insecurity. And what we have found is that we do try to give some food or funds to shelters for food directly. But what we have found is delivering the food to food pantries that serve the whole family, the whole community, like humans, it's much easier for these families in need to pick up dog, cat food, bunny food at these food pantries and the shelters that they go to normally to get their other basic needs. They don't have to make an extra trip. It's something that a lot of these community organizations didn't even think about or try to address before. So since November, we have dropped off over 3 tons of food to
Oh my goodness.
just locally. And this is something that we want to replicate everywhere. When you talk about a simple idea, people have canned food drives all the time. Through Buddy Bowls, we can connect you to a shelter. You can have a pet food drive and deliver directly to the people who need it the most.
So do you have certain organizations that you are connected with that will help with this?
Yes. Initially here, because we were longtime volunteers at the SPCA of Westchester, we started with them because it was a place that we were familiar with. We found that in our community, we've also connected with two different community programs. We are expanding our shelter reach just around here. But now that we have Scarlet Squad volunteers all over the country, what we're really trying to do is connect like our squad members to a shelter to really like adopt shelters and, you know, increase our impact nationwide. Mm-hmm. So that's like kind of what we're looking to do next and how we're looking to expand.
So let's take a step back. And you just mentioned Scarlet Squad. So what is Scarlet Squad?
Scarlet Squad, we kind of haven't talked about this and whatever, but Scarlet passed away before she could see, draw her paws through. She was fighting brain cancer. Pretty much immediately, within a month, her three best friends named themselves the Scarlet Squad and said, well, we're going to see this through for her. And they immediately started planning community events. What we found is that in our direct community and the schools where my kids are, friends and family, this was a like really therapeutic way to start processing our loss, making sure that her memory was honored, and most importantly, that her mission was fulfilled. Scarlet used to say that she would adopt every animal in the world if she could, and I'm afraid that she would have tried. But her friends immediately just called themselves the Scarlet Squad. So now anyone who joins us as a volunteer, whether it's one of our volunteer artists or someone who holds a food drive or someone who just wants to get involved with the organization, we call everyone a part of the Scarlet Squad. And it's a way to connect her and think about her while we're trying to help animals.
I love that. And she must have been thought an awful lot of by her friends. And also they must have shared their love for animals too, to start this.
Absolutely. And I think what was incredible about Scarlet is she recognized the need for animal rescue and animal welfare at a crazy young age. Her fourth birthday party, she came to me and said, can people bring dog toys instead of presents for me? And can the shelter bring puppies to my birthday party and maybe we can find them new homes? It was her ploy to get more puppies into our home. But besides she had this deep understanding and compassion for animals at such a young age. And I think that is something that awareness, she really spread that to her friends and to the community. It was really her passion, really her mission in life was to help animals. She was volunteering. When they had adoption events at the SPCA, she, at a very young age, because she was so mature and so dependable and responsible, they would put her in as a cage captain and she would help keep animals calm and help clean the little crates as people came by to meet dogs up for adoption. So she really was aware of the process and really shared that process with her friends. I think all little 8-year-old girls love puppies and kitties and all of that. But I think that what she did was really show them that we can do more than that. Adoption is important, that rescue is important, that welfare is important. And there are a lot of dogs that need our help. There are a lot of animals that need our help in this world.
Well, and I think you have other members of the family that help out too as well.
Absolutely. My son is 12 and he is obviously a huge supporter. He's not one of our artists, but he is definitely at all of the events. He is helping spread the word. He helps me with social media. And yes, like it was amazing. Our very first event that we had, which was just months after Scarlet passed, we had teachers, nurses, friends, family members that flew in from other places. It was just like an incredible feeling. You could feel her presence and the impact that she made on so many people just at that one event. And it was then that I knew, and I think we all knew, that this was something that, you know, wasn't just a one-off, but this was going to grow and last a long time.
So one of the things I'm going to share with you, Robin, is that before our interview today, I thought, how am I going to get through this without crying? You know, because it brings tears to my eyes, yeah. Actually. So I'm feeling a little verklempt right now because, it just really indicates how powerful the power of our animals is to us, but also how the special little girl could rescue so many animals, but who also brought in her little friends for such a great cause. I'd like for you to share some more of the programs that you have to offer too, and explain a little bit what Draw for Paws is.
Absolutely. The mission of Draw for Paws is to support animal rescue and welfare in any way possible. Any type of animal, any situation, we're really, that is our blanket mission. As I said, a lot of our programs are kid-based. Kids come with us. The initial idea was literally animal transport because that's what we were involved in. So we work with the SPCA, as I said, our local SPCA, and they bring in animals from an organization in Mississippi called Homeward Bound. So the vet school in Mississippi finds animals that would otherwise be euthanized, homeless animals there, and they literally, give them a checkup in the vet school, they spay and neuter them, and then they put them on a van, which is, funded by the SPCA, and bring 20, 30, 50 puppies and kittens at a time up to the SPCA and find them new homes because it's easier to find. It's a no-kill shelter here, and it's easier to find them homes up in the Northeast. That's what we were initially a part of. So the girls, the Scarlet Squad, named that initiative Scarlet's Rainbow Rescue. So our transport initiative literally tries to find animals from kill shelters and bring them to a place where they can find their forever homes. That's our first initiative. Buddy Bowls is the initiative I talked about that we came up with a few months ago. And basically, we are trying to provide food and funds to shelters, food pantries, whoever needs food for their animals. We want to help feed animals in any way that we can. Again, a really simple idea. Another idea that we're developing and working on is called Grandpaws. And this is to bring awareness to the adoption of senior animals or longtime shelter animals to, they might be harder to care for, harder to get adopted out, but we are hoping to find ways to help defray the costs of medical bills or special diets or something or that to give these incredible senior dogs or, again, longtime shelter residents a place to live and live out their years. We have merchandise. We have portrait parties where kids get together and give them a bunch of portraits to draw. We're really kid-run. We have had some inquiries from people who are kids at heart who want to be our artists. We do have some adult artists, some professional artists. We are also starting initiatives now, which we're announcing this month, where we are collaborating with really well-known artists who are creating prints and doing special commissions for us. Really, we are open to anything that makes sense as we grow, not too much, but everything that helps with our mission and trying to partner with corporations. Now that we're an official 501c3 nonprofit, we are hoping to get grants so we can really grow and expand and support the organizations that are on the ground doing the incredible rescue work and welfare work that they're doing, whether it's horses or turtles or dogs or bunnies. We really believe that it's our job to protect these animals.
What comes to mind is my last podcast interview that's going to be coming out next week. I spoke with somebody in the East, and she works for the Humane Society, and she was talking about the community-based programs. So it really does take a village. So we can't just have a silo effect, when we're trying to create, reach a goal. It's bringing in as many community organizations as possible to take care of people, take care of animals, whoever it is. And we also talked about Meals on Wheels and how important it is for, and I've heard that this has happened where Meals on Wheels will actually drop off pet food when Yes. they go and take care of people because they found that people were giving their dogs and their cats their own food instead of feeding themselves during this hard time, especially.
I can believe it. And the truth is when you are that stressed that you can't feed your own family and you're taking whatever you can get. Again, either some people will sacrifice their own health or they will say we can't take care of our animal anymore. That just, we can't let that happen. If we work together, we can. And the way we work is really community-based. You know, I'm in New York, but we have friends in Texas who are really going to start a Draw for Paws there. People in Florida, people in Los Angeles, you know, we're really trying to figure out this is, we have the model here. So if we partner with a Scarlet Squad ambassador somewhere, a kid who can start soliciting portraits or doing a food drive, we can connect them with the shelter and the community organization and tell them how we can make it all happen. And we can try to direct funds and grants towards as many places as possible to reach as many as possible.
Because you're located in New York, it doesn't need to stay in New York is what you're saying.
We don't want it to. We have connections here that we will continue to foster and expand and, you know, work with all of these places. We will help find the right places in as many places as possible with as many people as possible to really make this happen all over the country. We have artists all over the country and we will help them become true Scarlet Squad ambassadors there.
Speaking about the drawings, I just ordered one for a colleague's aunt, you know, about a colleague's dog. I can't wait to see it. But some of the artwork is just so cool. It's all done by kids, like you said. And when I took my therapy dog into a children's home, I got this plaque and it was designed by the kids. And that plaque means so much to me because it was drawn by one of the kids. And it's got a picture of me with blonde hair. I don't have blonde hair, but it was the cutest thing ever. And it had my golden retriever, and I was holding the leash. But it just seemed from a kid's eyes. And there was something that just meant so much to me to have a drawing made from a kid's eyes, how they saw us, and not a perfect kind of drawing that you would have seen from a professional artist.
Well, I will say you really hit on something special here about Draw for Paws and these artists. First of all, we started with only kid artists, but as we started growing, we have like grandmother, granddaughter duos. We have real artists who were like, please let me draw a portrait every once in a while. All of our portraits are randomly assigned. It's kind of like the next person up gets the next order. So they're all very different and random, and you don't know what to expect. But what is universal is that every portrait is seen through the eyes of the artist. And the incredible connection that is made when the artist sees the same thing in a pet as the pet owner, it's just incredible. This kid might have drawn you with blonde hair because you were this happy, sunshiny presence, and that's all they saw. So whether it's something that you would hang in a museum or on your refrigerator, what's amazing is just that special piece of their personality or their look that is captured by this artist. A lot of times the artists like have the opportunity to send a note to the customer. And, you know, it'll say, I think your dog sounds like Miley Cyrus, or, you know, I mean, it'll just be like a random thing that they say, or how fast does your dog run? Or it looks like your dog's wearing makeup. It's just, it's really funny what they take from it just from this portrait. And, you know, it's likely to be one of the favorite portraits of this pet owner. And that's why they submitted it. And they see something in that portrait that is true about their animal. And then these artists, again, no matter what the skill level, are able to kind of capture that. And that's what's so special. Some look like a scribble and some look like something that is so, these like incredible portraits that I could never even imagine doing. The mediums are all different, from crayon to pencil to digital art. That's what's so amazing. You never know what you're going to get. We have people who order three portraits at a time of three different animals and get three completely different types of drawings. And mm-hmm. Cool to me.
Yeah, it is cool. So I got on your website, got on the section that said, would you like to be one of our artists? I'm not a kid, so I don't qualify. And I can't draw. Anyway. But it showed, if you know, submit this drawing. And I think you have to draw something. You just have to submit something in order to be one of your drawers.
It's not a real application. We accept truly anybody who wants to help us out, because the best thing is that we're inundated right now and we need as many people. We don't want anyone to get burned out. We want this to be a fun, hands-on experience for everybody. And it's turned out that quarantine has been great for getting artists.
Yeah.
But basically, Scarlet drew this bunny that we've named the Scarly Bunny. And any artist like has to upload, we have the outline of the bunny and they kind of make the bunny their own and fill out their favorite color, their favorite animal, where they're located. Again, anyone can join us at any skill level, art skill level. But the beauty of this application is that everyone is truly drawing with Scarlett for a second. They're filling in this bunny that she made. So it's this moment of pure connection between Scarlett and the person that's helping fulfill her mission. So when you look at this page on a website of like the hundreds of bunnies submissions that we've gotten, it's so heartwarming and it gives me chills every time to think that they're all drawing with Scarlett. And it is just another way to keep her spirit alive and present during this whole process.
So you said something earlier about it being part of the grief process. Do you think, have any of her friends talked about that?
Not specifically to me, but you can see how important it is to these kids when they talk about what they're doing. They think about her. They think about her in a positive way. It's a way not to think about her and what she couldn't do and what she never will do and what she didn't do, but think about all the things that she still can do. It keeps her present in these minds. And I will also say that we've gotten a lot of new artists lately, strangers from all over the country who have seen our story, and their kids are so inspired by Scarlett and feel like they know her and they're a part of this. And that's why being a part of the Scarly Squad, this is a way that she is inspiring and affecting people everywhere and sharing vision, and they're a part of what's helping keep her memory alive and honoring her. And it's incredible to me. Like I said, when I see those bunnies and when I see how many kids are like, I'm helping animals. You know, when they see their portrait, they say, I'm doing this because I loved Scarlett's idea and I want to help animals too. They recognize that and they didn't even know her. That amazes me every time.
It hits us at a very human and very basic level.
It does. I mean, she really turned her passions for art and animals into something that is making a difference and will hopefully continue to make a difference and make a giant difference. It's incredible that this is like a movement now.
So how can people join in and help if somebody is like, oh, I just want to do something?
First of all, becoming an artist is super simple and easy. And, you know, our artists that are able to spread the word by having, you know, telling their friends to join or asking family and neighbors if they can draw their portrait. There are ways to request a particular artist to draw your portrait. We have kids who are doing community service projects or bat mitzvah projects who commit to drawing a certain number of portraits, and they kind of send that out to all of their friends and family. So that helps get more donors, more awareness, and more portraits drawn. We're definitely looking for people anywhere and everywhere who will help us like kind of get Draw for Paws and the Scarly Squad on the ground in their area. And that's easy, and we will make it ridiculously easy and help out with that. Obviously, donations are always welcome, but also to come to us with ideas, that just contact me and we can talk about different ways to get involved. I have someone who is setting up a wedding registry with Draw for Paws. I mean, it's really taken on so many forms. And because we're a small and growing company, we're willing to try anything that makes sense and that makes sense with the brand we're building and the initiatives that we have. Shelters should get in touch with us if they want to be a part of this and have us help them. We are really, you know, sometimes we'll have several artists draw an animal that's been at a shelter for a long time to try to raise awareness and get that animal adopted. We're really just committed to following through with this mission in any way that makes sense. Contact us and we'll figure out a way for you to get involved.
Awesome. So what is your contact information? Would you mind sharing that with us? And we'll put it in the show notes as well.
Absolutely. Our Instagram handle or social media handle is at Scarly Squad, S-C-A-R-L-Y-S-Q-A-D. And also they can easily contact us at scarlysquad@drawforpaws.org, if email is easier, or go to our website and you can find all this information, drawforpaws.org, and we will answer you as soon as possible. It's really easy to get involved.
So thank you so much, Robin. Is there anything else you would like to share? This has just been, I keep using the word heartwarming, but that's the best term I can say for this.
That's how we feel every single day. Every animal that gets adopted is one closer to our goal. Every person that now knows more and is more apt to adopt a dog rather than buy a dog or a cat, we're one step closer to our goal. Every new artist, every donation, every bag of food that's donated. So it is heartwarming. It is uplifting. It is a joyful, happy thing to think about right now. And we all need it. So I hope more people will get involved and help us move forward.
The other thing that I wanted to share, Robin, and I said it at the very beginning of our interview, and I've gotten wrapped up in this many, many times. You know, as adults, we take a simple idea and make it very, very difficult. And it doesn't necessarily need to be so difficult. I don't know how many times I've taken an idea and just pushed it to the side because I thought of so many obstacles and reasons why I couldn't make that happen. I actually talked to somebody who was my writing coach at one point, and she said, every time you have an idea, write it down. Do not dismiss it and don't tell anybody about it. And the reason being is because she did not want any of my ideas to be squelched by other people's saying, this isn't going to work. You've demonstrated, your daughter demonstrated the power of not saying no to ideas and to be able to latch on to little kids' fresh ideas that are very heartfelt and then making something wonderful that will outlive all of us.
Absolutely. And it came from a place of such innocence and sincerity and determination that really only a child can have. And of course, she wasn't thinking about incorporating or anything like that. But that was the beauty of it, is we didn't need to. We just figured it out. We are lucky to live in a community that really appreciates generosity and giving back. And there are many examples of that where we live. And hopefully I've been able to foster that as well in my kids. It's also that entrepreneurial spirit, the can-do spirit, determination, and just saying, yeah, I'm going to do this. And that's it, is incredible. And I think we all need a little bit more of that in our lives.
Yes. Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you.
And thank you for answering my email. I really wasn't sure if I just randomly sent you an email and you responded right away. So I really appreciated that.
Anyone who wants to join us, I appreciate. So thank you.
Okay. All right. Take care.
You too.
I want to thank Robin for sharing this powerful and heartwarming story. Ever since I saw the interview on TV and heard Scarlett talk about her dreams to adopt every animal in the world, I kept thinking about how this little girl took her important relationship with her pets and began brainstorming how to make this happen. We can think about the magnitude of what this endeavor actually entails, but kids don't think that way. They don't let obstacles stand in the way. They just know what they want to see happen. I'm saddened by the loss of Scarlett, but her family and friends have carried on her dreams in a way that would make her smile. Please listen to this podcast and think of ways of supporting Scarlett's Draw for Paws and any of the programs that help with a very worthwhile cause, all for the love of our animals. You can find contact information in the show notes. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Animal Academy podcast. Detailed contact information and links for each of the guests and resources provided inside this episode can be found at my website, animalacademypodcast.com. I'm Allison White, licensed clinical social worker specializing in the human-animal connection. Let's share and learn from the animals in the next episode of the Animal Academy podcast.